Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 125. My name is John. We don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some lovin' here today. What have you done? How could you do something like that? I've been sitting here, looking at what you've done, and trying to understand what could possibly have been your thought process while you were doing it. I've been trying to figure out your rationale, and that's why I am failing to understand. There is no rationale. There is nothing rational for what you have done. There is no reason or logic to your actions. If logic and reason cannot be found, then I search the emotions behind your actions and try to imagine them. Even that is an arduous mental experiment. No matter how deep I get into it, I can't understand. You find yourself in a situation that has escalated to raw emotion. That emotion has blinded you to common sense and civility. Any moral code you have been taught or claim to believe has been shut down by your baser instincts. You're not acting, you're reacting. You're reacting with fear and anger. The ancient Norse called it hamask, which means to change form. In modern times, it's called going berserk, to be out of control with anger. That is now you, devoid of reason, acting only out of anger, hatred, fear. Do you think that justifies what you've done? As the rational part of your mind returns and you look around to see what you've done, are you grasping for reasons to claim what you have done is right? As you continue to replay the memory of what you have done, do you continue to consider your actions correct, or does guilt creep into your mind? Who am I talking about? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with a very important news story out of Minneapolis. I don't often ask this, but go back and listen to this opening again. In fact, if you would be so kind, do it twice. The first time, think about what I'm saying as if I'm directing my comments to an individual person. The second time through, think about it as if I'm directing my comments to a group of people. Go ahead. I'll wait. Did you do it? Did the seeds I planted in your mind to think about Minneapolis get you to think the first time through about the individual, the cop, who did the unthinkable by choking George Floyd to death? The second time through, did you think about a group of people and consider the reaction of the rioters destroying property and looting businesses? Do you understand that all of it, the looting, the destruction, and yes, even the death, are all the result of the same human failings. Are there even words to describe what this Minneapolis cop has done? Heinous? Egregious? Atrocious? Aren't those still understatements? And why did no one watching put an end to this? Get off the guy's neck, you asshole! You're killing him! Go over there and physically remove the cop from the man's neck. No, I don't want to use the cop's name. It's like using the name of a terrorist bomber or a school shooter. I don't think the sick fuck deserves to have his name remembered, just his despicable actions as a cautionary tale. Some people want to know the full circumstances on how they got to that point in the first place. Look, I understand and respect that you want to know the whole story. I do. I'm like that. There are many times when I hear something happening on the news, not cop violence, but some kind of story that sets people off on social media. And as soon as I hear it, I think to myself, there's gotta be more to this. And almost all the time that happens, there's more to the story. And the people on social media who reacted one way have to eat their words. That being said, for all those who want the full narrative, is there any set of circumstances that you can imagine that could possibly make you think, yeah, I can see why the cop put a knee to his neck for 8 minutes? If you can, then I would have to seriously wonder about your mental well-being, because there is no possible excuse I can think of for why this cop did what he did. And please, don't you dare start in with me with this hollow argument about George Floyd's criminal record or disreputable past or any of that horse shit. You know what that has to do with this situation? Abso-fucking-lutely nothing. 8 fucking minutes on that man's neck. There is no excuse. Now, can I think about a situation where I could kill someone? Yeah, I think it's possible I could kill someone if they harmed my wife. Someone invading my home would put me into survival mode. Someone were actively trying to kill my wife or me, I could see myself defending us with lethal force. If someone tried to pass me a forged check, I definitely would not seek to take his life. This cop had absolutely no excuse under any circumstances to do this. Mr. Floyd was subdued and in no position to retaliate against this murderer with the knee on his neck or the cops on the scene. He was choked to death by a cop who, by any measure, did an unthinkable, horrible act. I can't think of any reason why the cops looking on didn't do anything. Actually, yeah, I can. Anyone who's read up on the Milgram experiment knows how easily humans submit to authority figures, even if it means the torture or death of another. Just because I have seen scientific experiments that explain why others would stand by and do nothing, that is still no excuse for their inaction. These cops also deserve punishment. I don't know what. I haven't figured that part out yet, but I know they deserve something. For the cop that committed the murder, I do know what I think should happen. The vast majority of libertarians, from what I've gathered over the years, are staunchly against the death penalty because the idea of the government having the ability to take the life of a citizen is unsavory at best. In my conservative days, I was very much for the death penalty. Being libertarian has opened my eyes to the devastating actions of an unwieldy government. Too many people have been falsely imprisoned and sentenced to death because of corrupt police and politicians. It is far too easy for the corrupt police to plant evidence and for politicians to use their clout to have someone found guilty. That being said, there is one very specific set of circumstances where I would support the death penalty. See, human witnesses can get it wrong. Even something as simple as a minor traffic accident can be seen differently by multiple witnesses. However, a camera with a clear picture of the assailant committing the act cannot be denied. And that is what we have here. Now, as technology advances, and we get to a point where images can be imperceptibly forged, I may change my mind on this, but for now, this is as obvious as we could get. Yes, I fully support the death penalty for this police officer. If a person who kills a police officer can get the death penalty, then a cop who obviously, blatantly, and needlessly kills a person should get it as well. Authorities all over this country need a clear and unavoidable message sent to them that they are not above the law. They do not get to do something like this under any circumstances. These police officers are supposed to be put through training to know how to handle these types of situations and de-escalate stressful and panicked people. There is no reason for a forged check suspect to end up with a knee to his neck for 8 minutes. To be that angry for that long and unable to return to a reasonable frame of mind to prevent a man's death reveals a dangerous person with severe issues. You won't support the death penalty? Then I'm all for letting him go to prison. In general population. Yes, I know that would still be a death penalty. That's why I said it. That's brutal, isn't it? It pains me to say something like that and really mean it. I mean, sure, there are some sociopaths who seem to be irredeemable, but almost everyone should have a shot at redemption, shouldn't they? I mean, that's what we're constantly told. So what? Maybe he rots in a jail for life, away from general population, and a couple of decades from now, his death by natural causes prompts a 20-second mention just before a commercial break on the evening news. Is that justice? Maybe he flees the country and ends up in some poverty-stricken nation doing menial labor for the rest of his guilt-stricken life. Is that redemption? Maybe I'm just projecting here, but I can't imagine why this guy would even want to live anymore. Maybe the only redemption left for him is a genuine note of apology and a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. God damn, I just seem to be getting more brutal, don't I? Redemption. I want to believe it. I do. I can't. I just can't get there. I don't like war, but I understand there are times when it must be. I don't like the idea of taking a life, but this is a circumstance that I think requires it. This is one of those rare times when I do believe that justice can only be found with the murderer's execution. As it should be, the outcry for justice has been long and loud. Now, what I'm about to say should be obvious, But this is an era where people are quick to react to the beginning of a sentence without hearing the end. I am completely for any and all peaceful protests that want justice for George Floyd, equal natural rights for every person, or simply want to encourage people to love one another. All the candlelight vigils, all the peaceful marches, all the strong voices of conviction who call for justice and peace and unity, I am completely there. One thing, though. Please stop blocking the streets, highways, and bridges. Only people who live under rocks or who are in comas are unaware of what has happened. People know what's happened, and I'd be willing to bet that in their heart of hearts, they are also supportive of the peaceful protests and are fully aware of the injustice that has been done. However, we are coming out of months of government-enforced quarantine, and there are many people out there who are struggling to make a living and need to get to work. Some people can't get out there and protest with you because they have mouths to feed back home. So please, let people get freely where they need to go. I cannot and will not support rioting, looting, and vandalizing, no matter how angry you are. There is no justification for the destruction of a business that your neighbors rely on for jobs. There is no justification for stealing a new flat-screen TV. There is especially no justification for doing these things in places where the crime didn't even occur. Seriously, how is decimating your own neighborhood the answer to this horrendous crime? What of the small business owner whose shop you vandalized and now they have a financial setback that could cause them to close their doors for good? Is that what you want to do to your neighborhood, to your neighbors? San Antonio remained relatively unscathed when protests came through. There was damage, but nothing like what happened elsewhere. I'd like to commend San Antonio Spurs player Lonnie Walker IV, who went through the area the next morning, passing out water and helping people clean up some of the vandalism. He's now my favorite Spur. I had to wonder why people would even do something like that in a place that had nothing to do with the crime. What should the looters and vandals have to do? Give back what they stole? Pay for the damages? Be part of the rebuilding? That's a good start. Maybe look at yourself in the mirror and promise to channel your outrage at productive change instead of harming innocence. There will be no real solution, no real change, until everyone, and I mean everyone, stops listening to the voices of anger and hatred. This will keep replaying so long as we listen to the people who continue to stoke the fires, the scheming politicians using the tragedy for their own gain, the radical activists compounding the problem with their own hatred, and the fascists who use the violence as an excuse to intensify their police state. Gandhi, many times in his life, had the choice to strike back at his opponents with hateful rhetoric or physical violence. There were many times when people did not listen to his call for peace and would instigate violence or retaliate with violence to an injustice. Gandhi did not give in. He did not say, "Enough is enough. Let there be war." He fasted. Real fasting, not this bullshit fast for one day, then pass it on to another farce that virtue signaling celebrities have been doing in recent years. And using this form of protest, he changed hearts and minds. His message of peace never changed. His conviction for others to make change through peace never altered. Why? Isn't it obvious? Hatred is breeding hatred. Distrust is breeding distrust. I dedicated a podcast in support of Colin Kaepernick when he chose to kneel in protest during the national anthem. I believe your freedom of expression is more important than standing while a song is playing. I believe that supporting a person's freedom of speech is more patriotic than standing for 1,000 national anthems. I was in full support for his protest, even if I didn't always fully agree with his perspective. In the wake of this horror, Kaepernick tweeted, quote, "When civility leads to death, revolting is the only logical reaction. The cries for peace will rain down, and when they do, they will land on deaf ears, because your violence has brought this resistance. We have the right to fight back." End quote. Anger is breeding anger. Violence is breeding violence. But it doesn't have to be this way. Revolting is not the only logical reaction. My support ends when you support violence. I'd like a revolution in this country that embraces the ideals of libertarianism, but I want it to be a peaceful revolution in the minds of the citizens. Regardless of what his ends are, he is choosing to justify the means of violence that destroys property, destroys business, destroys people's jobs, targeting people who had nothing to do with the situation. Kaepernick isn't the only person whose posts have caused me to question where they truly stand. Even people I greatly admire have posted support for the protests, but do not make any delineation between the peaceful protests and the riots. I can't support helter-skelter destruction on citizens and their property. I won't support anyone who does. If you look through Kaepernick's Twitter feed, you find a lot of discussion about American imperialism. You know what's a good example of that? When an American president authorizes a drone strike on a supposed terrorist group, but ends up killing innocent citizens, destroying property, and destroying innocent lives. But hey, it's justified because of what they did to us, right? You're using the same excuses to commit your violence as those you claim to be fighting against. What you're really demanding is for people to replace the imperialism with your socialism. Why do I say that? Because Joe Biden is going to be at George Floyd's funeral. It's no longer about justice. It's no longer about lives. It's all about votes. The only thing that matters to him is votes. Once Joe, "If you don't vote for me, you ain't black Biden," was allowed at the funeral, it became the ultimate disrespect to the life of a murdered man. You will be validating an aging, rich elitist who dares to dictate the definition of your ethnicity by whether or not you do what he and his party tells you to do. If that happens, I know you don't give a shit about George Floyd. You're using the crisis for your own sick agenda. And you're not the only ones. I said this before, I'll say it again. Using violence, force, and threats of force to spread your political ideology are the tactics of fascists. It doesn't matter whether the end result is to bring about imperialism or communism. The scheme is the same. That's why I have said many times before, Antifa is fascism. It should surprise no one that Antifa isn't letting a crisis go to waste. I hear they're out looking to provoke and intensify the hatred all across the country. The so-called anti-fascists are nothing but a bunch of fascists, using intimidation and violence to spread their ideology. I've pondered for hours why a man sworn to uphold the law would do something like this. I've pondered for hours why people would loot, destroy, and harm people who had nothing to do with the situation. I've tried to understand what could possibly be going through their heads. I can't. I simply can't understand. And I'm glad I can't understand. I'm afraid if I did understand, then that means there's a darkness inside of me that I can't control. So where do you really stand? Are you trying to force your own political agenda? Demanding that people kowtow to your violence? You're not being part of the solution. You're part of the problem. You want to know the solutions? It isn't taking to the streets and destroying things. It sure as hell isn't trusting law enforcement to discipline itself. Police departments that have adopted certain policies show an important reduction in suspect deaths. These include, but are not limited to, requiring an officer to use all other means before shooting. Warning before a shooting. Banning chokeholds and strangleholds. Requiring all use of force to be reported. Requiring de-escalation. And, my personal favorite, making it an officer's duty to intervene if another officer uses excessive force. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has pledged $1 million to help with police training using these guidelines. That would be highly beneficial. However, there is one other area that needs to be addressed. If you really want to solve the problem with law enforcement, get rid of some of these stupid laws against victimless crimes that they are required to enforce. Decriminalize drugs. Completely. No bullshit regulation about how much you're carrying and where you're carrying it. No bullshit harassment of nonviolent drug users. Nonviolent drug users in prison? Free them. Give them their lives back. Quit busting down doors and shooting people because they want to get high. Decriminalize prostitution. Completely. Some guy who can't get laid for free wants to pay somebody $50 for a blowjob? Let him. Giving people money is legal. Sex is legal. Giving people money for sex should be legal. Yes, I stole that from George Carlin. While you're at it, if you want to start trusting police, go back to the days where a cop car was clearly and obviously marked. Quit hiding in plain sight, looking to pounce on people like some predator. Make yourselves visible and available for people to come to if they have problems. The heart of the problem is that this country, because of the imperialistic fascism of the political right and the socialistic fascism of the political left, is turning it into a police state with authorities in too much power. The problem we have with frontline police officers is just the tip of the iceberg. This power trip goes through the police, to the mayor, to the governors, to the Congress, all the way up to the President of the United States. And I'm not just talking about the current one, but every single one we've had for generations, Republican and Democrat. You've just been too blinded by your own political affiliations and your preferred media propaganda to notice your own party causing the same problems as the other. Now, please, for the next moment or so, put the safety on your triggers and listen with both ears. Yes, the percentage of African Americans killed by police is grotesquely disproportionate to their percentage of the population. This fact is highlighted everywhere I look in my research. 24% of all police killings are African Americans, while their percentage of the population is only 13%. There is no dispute that this is horrible. But does that mean it would be acceptable if only 13% of police killings were African American? Of course not. The number should be zero. It should be zero for all races. If that 24% is what you need in order for you to take action, so be it. But there's another 76% also dying who deserve help. I'm not saying your cause isn't valid. I am saying the problem is even more insidious than you have been led to believe. The growing police state is everyone's problem. If we can instill the values of peace and liberty, maybe we turn the tide before it's too late, before the glad hands with hidden agendas con people into believing that violence born of anger, hatred, and fear is the only solution. Martin Luther King Jr. stood up to anger with peace. He demanded justice with unwavering conviction, not violence. He called for unity among those of all races and accepted anyone of any skin color willing to work for that unity. He spoke to the goodness in anyone, in any walk of life, rich or poor, in oppression or in authority. If he were alive today, or if there were a voice of his notoriety and his message speaking today, who would be listening? Would the good cops caught up in a bad system listen? Would the angry protesters lashing out against injustice listen? Would the privileged, the politicians, pundits, celebrities, and athletes listen? At the heart of the matter, this is the result of the authoritarian government. All you right-wingers and left-wingers who seek to give government more control, this is the result of your actions. People are dying because of an authoritarian government at federal, state, and local levels. If it's not a group of religious fanatics, including children and pregnant women, burning to death in Waco because you're afraid of their guns, it's an individual choking to death because he's been accused of forging checks. Are you going to listen to the voices that offer true, peaceful change? Are you going to vote for those politicians who offer true, peaceful change? Or will you just continue the cycle of violence, hatred, anger, and fear, letting those with the worst ideas and the lust for control continue their power over you? I know what you've done. Now, what are you gonna do? This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.